It was summer when I went to talk with Cudjo, so his door was standing wide open. But I knew he was somewhere about the house before I entered the yard, because I had found the gate unlocked. When Cudjo goes down into his back field or away from home, he locks his gate with an ingenious wooden peg of African invention. I hailed him by his African name as I walked up the steps to his porch, and he looked up into my face as I stood in the door in surprise. He was eating his breakfast from a round enameled pan with his hands, in the fashion of his fatherland. The surprise of seeing me halted his hand between pan and face. Then tears of joy welled up. "Oh, Laura, I know it. You call my name. Nobody don't call him my name from across the water but you. You always call him me, Kazula, just like I in the Africa soil." I noted that another man sat eating with him, and I wondered why. So I said, "I see you have company, Kazula." "Yeah, I got to have somebody stay with me. I've been sick in the bed the 5 month. I needed somebody to hand me some water. So I take this man and he sleep here and take care, Cudjo. But I get it well now." In spite of the recent illness and the fact that his well had fallen in, I found Cudjo Lewis full of gleaming goodwill. His garden was planted, there was deep shade under his chinaberry tree, and all was well. He wanted to know a few things about New York, and when I had answered him, he sat silently smoking. Finally, I told him I had come to talk with him. He removed his pipe from his mouth and smiled. "I don't care," he said. "I like to have company come see me." Then the smile faded into a wretched weeping mask. "I'm so lonely. My wife, she left me since the 1908. Cudjo all by himself." After a minute or two, he remembered me and said contritely, "Excuse me, you didn't do nothing to me. Cudjo feels so lonely, he can't help he cries sometime. What you want with me?" "First, I want to ask you how you feel today." Another muted silence, then he said, "I thank God I own praying ground and in a Bible country." "But didn't you have a God back in Africa?" I asked him. His head dropped between his hands and the tears sprung fresh. Seeing the anguish in his face, I regretted that I had come to worry this captive in a strange land. He read my face and said, "Excuse me, I cry. I can't help it when I hear the name call. Oh, Lord, I no see African soil no more." Another long silence. Then, "How come you asked me ain't we had no God back there in Africa?" "Because you said thank God you were on praying ground and in a Bible country." "Yeah, in Africa we always know there was a God. He name Alawa. But po' Africans, we can't read the Bible, so we don't know God got a son. We ain't ignorant, we just don't know. Nobody don't tell us about Adam eating the apple. We didn't know the seven seas were sealed against us. Our parents don't tell us that. They didn't tell us about the first days, no. That's all right, we just don't know. So that what you come asking me?" I temporized. "Well, yes. I wanted to ask that, but I want to ask you many things. I want to know who you are and how you came to be a slave and to what part of Africa do you belong and how you fared as a slave and how you have managed as a free man." Again, his head was bowed for a time. When he lifted his wet face again, he murmured, "Thank you, Jesus. Somebody come asked about Cudjo. I won't tell somebody who I is. So maybe they go into Africa soil someday and call him my name, and somebody dare say, 'Yeah, I know Kazula.' I want you everywhere you go to tell everybody what Cudjo say. And how come I in America soil since the 1859 and never see my people no more? I can't talk it plain, you understand me, but I calls it word by word for you so it won't be too crooked for you."